Hey, friends. Welcome to the Lens of Faith podcast. Gen Z, which is ages 11 to 25, they're being influenced by a culture that is pushing the lies that there is no God, the demonic is cool, life doesn't matter, and your gender is fluid. It's evidently clear that the enemy is after the youth. But I believe that God is using the next generation to bring the greatest revival to America. I welcome my guest today, Addison Yu. At only 18 years old, he has launched a powerful youth movement called Wildfire, where he hosts the presence of God and youth are being delivered and set free. Hey, Addison, welcome.
How are you?
Good. So great to have you on today. You're only 18 years old and you started a movement for Gen Z, for young people called Wildfire. I've been there a few times and you can just feel the Holy Spirit, the presence of God. You see the hunger with the youth. It's just amazing and I love it. I just did this testimony with this trans person that got radically saved and now is transitioning back. And, you know, the statistic is that now one in every three Gen Z, which is ages 11 to 25, now identify as LGBT. So that's a shocking statistic, but that's the culture we're in right now, whether you want to accept it or not. Mm-hmm. And you're part of that. You're in that Gen Z, in that bracket, right? Mm-hmm. So as an 18-year-old, I mean, why do you think our culture is going in this direction?
I guess the short answer is the devil.
For sure.
Yeah, there's like a lot more influence now from like bigger like celebrities and people that, you know, we really look up to in my generation, or that like were really popular when we were young. And so seeing them like go in this direction of like progressivism towards LGBT and trans and whatever, then like, you know, of course we want to follow after our idols and see how we can, you know, relate to them and be like them. So I think definitely this idolization of people definitely contributes to the issue. And like now more than ever, there's more, you know, gay celebrities and lesbian celebrities. And, you know, so I think that's a big issue. And then also just like the media really pushing it, like all the pride parades and, you know, whatever. So,
right. Yeah, for me growing up, it was very rare. I mean, social media wasn't really a thing either, but it was very rare that you would even hear what trans was. Like, You might hear it was called, we called them cross-dressers, but those were like the very few that maybe were in the clubs and they were older. There was no children involved or book readings from drag queens, right? None of that was a thing. They knew children were off limits, but now it's like the devil's just running wild and now nothing's off limits, you know? What do you think about stuff like seeing, you know, Lil Nas X, he's Gen Z and he comes out with Satan shoes, and Taylor Swift and all these other celebrities doing just blatant demonic promotion?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's really disappointing because, like, again, these are people that we're supposed to look up to, people that are supposed to be good influences, and you, like, hardly ever see people that are, you know, really going after what we were created to do anymore, because they all want to, you know, go against the gospel and go against, you know, God and represent this, you know, satanic image. I think, yeah, essentially like selling their souls for this popularity, and like people love it. They're like, oh, it's like, so it's irony, right? It's supposed to be funny. It's supposed to be different, but it's not, it's just demonic. So, yeah, to me, it's like really disappointing, Those are the people that get pushed through the media. And those are the people that get, you know, put on the pedestals.
Right. Well, yeah, it's part of Satan's agenda, right? I mean, he wants you to be confused. He's after life. He's after your destiny. You know, he's against anything. He doesn't want the earth to be filled with God's glory, right? So he's going to try whatever he has to, you know, things that weren't dealt with as a child or whatever brokenness you have. He loves to feed off people's brokenness and use that as a tool to advance his kingdom, right? Where God comes to set the captives free. He's all about freedom. He's all about life. He died for life. He creates life. and he would leave the 99 for one life, right? So God loves life. He's all about life. And Satan's the total opposite. You know, he's still mad at God that he got kicked out of heaven. And so he's just after, you know, his people, his children. God has allowed him to have some access for such a time, but he knows his time is running out. And we're also in these dark days, you know, for such a time as this. God has you 18 years old in this generation. It's not an accident that you were born when you were born. And now you are setting ablaze, you know, this amazing movement. Tell me a little bit about your story and how Wildfire, this movement for Gen Z young people, started.
So it started out as like a worship night, but I think we want to start going in the direction of really just seeing people set on fire. So we want to start doing more messages. Our next one is going to be about the crucifixion and the you know, the blood. It's kind of a long story, but we've been doing like worship nights at my house since 2019. And we would just do like small gatherings and, you know, have like close friends over and, you know, just have some like live music. I'd be on the keys and then my Savannah would be singing. My older sister would be singing. And then it was very simple. But like as time passed, we started getting more people and eventually getting more teenagers. And so I was like always surrounded by this circle of like, you know, teenagers that love Jesus. And then over the summer of 2023, this is when the idea was planted in me, although I was aware it was an issue the whole time. But over the summer of 2023, I went to a summer camp called Riders in Dallas, and they did like all sorts of like activation and deliverance for like teenagers. And it was nothing I'd ever seen before for my generation. And so I was really excited and it set me on fire. And a few weeks later, I actually went to another summer camp that was with my church. And there was like a very big difference between the two because, you know, one had like, everyone was, you know, really seeking after God and like really spirit filled. And then I went to this camp at my church, and like no shade to them, but the student body was not as hungry for God. And so while I was there, I just felt such a burden on my heart for all these kids who, you know, they go to church and they say they love God and they say that they follow him, but like their lives are not a testimony of that. So I really wanted to see change within just the student body in all of North Carolina. And so like the last night of the summer camp, I was literally just sitting in a room by myself with a guitar. And I got downloaded this vision by God that like all of Gen Z was going to be set on fire for God. And I'm going to be not me, but God using me is going to be a catalyst. And so that's when he gave me the idea to do what I originally wanted to call Jesus Nights, because my friends out in Texas, they have their own Jesus night. And I was like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if we like, you know, kind of work together on this. But then I got back to North Carolina and my mom suggested Wildfire and it really stuck. Like that was supposed to be like who we are. Like we're not supposed to be attached to other like identities and other brands, mm-hmm. but really just like from the ground up building what God wants us to build. And so that's where like the name Wildfire came from. And that's kind of like our motive behind it is we want to see Gen Z lit on fire for God. And I think North Carolina is going to be a big hub of, you know, spirit-filled teenagers. So
that's amazing. I guess that's
like the story of its origin.
I love that. It's going to be original. You're not being attached to anything else. I love that name, Wildfire. You know, in this culture with the trans and LGBTQ and identity crisis that Gen Z has and all the things that your generation is faced with, this is exactly what our culture needs. And God knows that. The young people need to rise up and be who God's called them to be, because the culture is darker than ever. It's more rebellious, more lost, more broken, more confused, right? The enemy has so many people deceived. Getting attention does not mean that it's love. That's not real love. Only God provides that love. Only God provides that healing that young people need, right? And so many people, they react out of childhood things that were never dealt with. Once they get older than you, you're still young, but you know, you see it a lot. You know, I think most of the time when you see broken people and they are reacting to things or they're living a certain way, it's because there's things in childhood that they did not deal with. There's brokenness, rejection, or whatever it is, abuse. God has you doing wildfire for young people that are still young, that can get that deliverance and healing while they're young, so they can grow up to be healthy, on fire for God adults, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess like in terms of what you were saying about like love, yeah, the love that this world shows, I don't think it's love. I think it's more like coddling, like, oh, you're perfect just the way you are. And, you know, you can live out your life this way and have nothing change and you'll be fine. But I think what Jesus's mission, what Jesus's purpose was to see people come out of those places where they're, you know, in self-pity or, you know, trauma or whatever, and just take them up to a higher place where they can, you know, leave all those things behind. And so this world shows us how to coddle and how to accept, but Jesus shows us how to, you know, get freedom and, you know, really experience true love.
Amen. It's so true, because even my last guest, the ex-trans guy, you know, he was saying that, you know, this generation is just too soft, you know, and it's like, you know, love is love. Anything goes. Real love speaks the truth. Now, Jesus didn't love on sinners to be inclusive, you know, affirming. He loved on people to bring them to repentance, right? Mm-hmm. That was his goal. The end goal was to bring you to repentance, not to continue to live in your destructive lifestyle. A lot of people get it wrong. You know, they just think, oh, Jesus is love and yay, he died for me. And, you know, I can just live whatever I want, however I want. And God's like, no, my whole purpose for loving you and dying on that cross is so that you would live in freedom, complete freedom in Christ, free of sin, free of temptation, free of bondages and strongholds and brokenness.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of our, like, how we want to go about this too, is we don't want to just host worship nights and we don't want to just tell people to come. But we want to show them like true, like godly love in like one-on-one relationships or, you know, with community, so that they could really like experience what it's like to be surrounded, not only by godly friends, but like godly influences. So that way they're realizing like, you know, they have both perspectives and they have to choose, like, do I want to be with Jesus and his godly love, or do I want to stay in the world and, you know, just be complacent? Right. So I definitely want to be like Jesus in that way of just doing everything, operating in love.
And, you know, I sense it. You know, I've been in church my whole life and I've been to countless worship nights and conferences. I've been to all of them. And really, I just love that organic worship night you have where you sense God's presence. You know, you sense God's presence. And I've been to churches where you don't feel God's presence, or, you know, they're not after the heart of God. You know, a lot of people do things for their own motives, their own selfish motives. But yours is really, you know, that raw, like, just come to Jesus as you are and let him change you. Let him, you know, work in your life. Let him set you free and deliver you just by being in his presence. And you definitely can feel that tangible presence of God at Wildfire. So I really appreciate that. And I think that's what sets you apart. A lot of times with young people, they have things for fun. They'll go to these things, but there's not the oil of the Lord, you know, that changes lives, that sets the captives free, that brings that breakthrough that we all need, you know? And so that is the most important thing. And I feel like as long as you stay, you know, laser focused on Jesus and your goal is to glorify him and not yourself, he's just going to flourish this. This is going to take off like never before, because that's his heart.
We really just want to follow scripture in terms of what the correct way to worship is. And, you know, we're all learning. But like in this process, like we've learned what God wants to see when we worship. And I know like he appreciates all worship, but there's a template in scripture. I can't remember which verse it is, but it says we enter his gates with thanksgiving and praise. So when we start with thanksgiving and we really just like let out like everything that we're thankful for, that's super pleasing to him. And then we can enter the praise of just, you know, rejoicing, lifting up like a sound to him. And then, you know, other things like how scripture says to worship with a fresh song. So that's why we love to do spontaneous stuff, is because we feel like the Lord has a song. He's putting songs inside of us, and we're the ones to release them.
The most anointed events I've ever been to are when it's spontaneous. You know, there's some structure you have to have with certain events, but really it's like, Lord, you have your way.
Right. So we always go in with, you know, this posture of, Lord, do what you want through me. And, you know, that's why we don't really have an agenda. Like, we have songs, a song set. But wherever the Lord wants to take it, that's his domain. We're just there to be the vessels for whatever he wants to do. So I think that's like a big thing of ours, is making sure our worship is scriptural and, you know, based on what God wants us to do. So
when you come together and it's totally Holy Spirit led, you know, we don't have our own agenda. You might, even if you're a planner, you're organized, you can start out thinking we'll do this and that, but you're flexible and you're allowing the Holy Spirit to take over. You know, he's running the show, not you, right? And that I'm the same with my ministry. Like, Lord, I want you to choose the person that comes on. I want you to choose what I say. I want you to edit this. I want you to say this. You know, it's all about letting him lead and not us, right? That's when you see deliverance and breakthrough happen in people's life. You know, that's what breaks a yoke, is really when the Holy Spirit does it, because us as humans, we're prone to fail and we can disappoint, we can get it wrong, but God never gets it wrong. He's the perfect one, you know? So as long as we stay humble, we stay in our word, and we allow him to lead our lives, then we're going to see the fruit of that. And so that's what I encourage for you and Wildfire, just to stay pure, you know, stay close to the heart of God, because the enemy comes, the world comes with a lot of temptations, a lot of distractions. And so we have to stay focused and make spending time with God our priority. I'll never forget one time growing up, and this always stuck with me, and this was so long ago, but I remember when I was younger at my church that I grew up in California, the pastor, he always went by his sermon and, you know, it was more structured, I would say. But one Sunday, I'll never forget this. I remember him. He had a sermon. He said, I prepared for like a month for the sermon. He had it all ready. But he told everyone at church, I'm not supposed to preach a sermon that I prepared for today, because God wants to heal broken hearts, you know, emotional wounds. He wants to heal you today. And so we're going to have an altar call instead. And, you know, so anybody that needs prayer for brokenness or healing, come up. And Addison, let me tell you, like half the church ran up.
Wow. That's so good.
Yeah. And I never forgot that, because this is not like him. He wasn't like, you know, loosey goosey like that. He's not wired that way at all. So for him to do that, I knew it was the move of God. But you saw the end result. You saw the fruit. He was obedient, which is key in that moment. And you saw the fruit of that. People were getting delivered and healed and set free. But to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, to his quick conviction, is key. I just think that the most authentic, powerful moments and times are when we really just let go of the reins ourselves and then allow God. You know, I see it as like, I always grew up very independent. I'm from a large family. I'm the oldest. I come from a family of strong women. And, you know, I would tell you I loved Jesus growing up, but really, I really did my own thing. He didn't have my surrender. And so many Christians, they don't really know God. They're not really surrendered to God. And surrendered means, you know, Lord, whatever you want, I'm yours. I had that surrender moment about 9 years ago, and it changed my life. Everything changed after that. God is really calling the church to surrender, to do whatever it is that he calls you to do, you know, and it looks different for different people, for everybody. But if you're still living your own life, you're not really, how can you say you're following Jesus if you're still living for yourself? You're following yourself.
Yeah.
But when we really release it, no matter how it looks, we see God move mightily in our lives and in the generation that needs him, that needs something real, that needs the truth, that needs deliverance. But it all comes from having a heart of surrender. So that's where he wants to take the church. That's where he wants the younger generation to be. Just this life of full surrender. Whatever you want, Lord, I'm yours. I trust you. And I'm going to be obedient and count the cost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think like that's where revival even stems from.
Amen.
Like, consecration has to be the first step, you know, getting right with God, surrendering all of your idols and all of your, you know, your baggage, and just saying, like, Lord, I am yours. And then really, like, getting into scripture and learning about him and who he is. Yeah, I heard the other day that revival comes from consecration. And actually, it starts with internal consecration, right? You have to make yourself right with God before you can take anyone else to that place. So I think that's another issue with, like, some of these movements or some of these churches who don't have eternal consecration, yet they're trying to lead, like, a whole mass group of people to a place that they're not even at yet. So yeah, I think we have to really work on making ourselves right with God and, you know, being pure and being holy. And then as soon as we have that, then the Lord can use us to, you know, bring revival. And, you know, I think that's when we're really going to see change in this generation and in this time. And that's why we have, like, as a team, we have boundaries and values that we stick to. We've been working on this the past couple of weeks because it's been put on our hearts as really important. But, you know, just having things that we, lines that we don't cross, things that we don't do, things that we are supposed to do, like, you know, being humble, always, you know, yielding to the Holy Spirit and not to our flesh, you know, always, like, reading scripture. You know, just, like, they seem basic, but they're really what build up us as a community, and then us also as, you know, being one with God. So we have values that we stick to, and I think that's really what, you know, makes everything work. Because as soon as we start crossing those lines, as soon as we start breaking those rules, then that's when things start to fall apart. And, you know, it always ends up in a dead thing. So
that's really important. That's so good. We're seeing pastors, you know, fall because they're feeding the flesh, or they're living a double life, or, you know, living in secret sin or whatever. So boundaries in ministry are super important. Like, for me personally, I barely have any guy friends. I'm cool with guys, but I'm not calling them up. I'm not, you know, messaging them. I really have to live that holy and pure lifestyle, you know, because if you don't, if you're secretly doing something, then it's going to come out publicly eventually, you know. And God is really wanting to clean house in this day and age, and for Christians not to play church as usual, but to really get our lives right so they reflect who he really is. If you wanted to just go to a cookie cutter church, you know, they're everywhere, but to actually go somewhere where there's holiness, consecration, the move of God, purity, humility, I mean, those aren't as common. They need to be, though. I'm so proud of you, Addison, and I'll keep your movement in prayer. And I know God is going to use you mightily for this generation. Do you have any encouragement for Gen Z? And if you would just pray us out, just pray for your generation.
Yeah, I guess my advice. So when I was younger, or before I was saved, my biggest struggle was not having any community. It was really difficult, you know, being around people who were living in sin all the time. And so my advice to Gen Z is to find community, people that you can hold yourself accountable with and that will lift you up and not tear you down, and that, you know, are in love with Jesus. So community, and then also read your Bible. Those are my two big things. And yeah, I'd be happy to pray us out. Jesus, I just thank you so much for this meeting and this time that you've appointed for your glory, Lord. I thank you for how you're going to use this podcast to reach people, Lord. And I pray that you would just continue to use Leah in what she's doing, that she would grow exponentially for your kingdom, Lord. And I thank you for just everything you're going to do through this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Leah.
Make sure to subscribe to get all the blog and podcast updates at leahmariecarson.com, on YouTube at Leah Marie Carson, follow on Instagram at Lens of Faith, and be sure to subscribe to the Lens of Faith podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or Google. Remember, friends, life becomes clearer when you focus through the lens of faith. Talk to you soon.